And I don't know about you, but I can barely load a YouTube video these days without watching an ad first. So perhaps it's no surprise that spending on advertising in the U.S. jumped this year by more than 5% to roughly $180 billion. And for advertising professors, maybe that's a good thing. Lots to look back on. Joining us to look at some of the best ad campaigns of 2014 is Here and Now media analyst and Boston University communications professor John Carroll. John, welcome back.
Nice to be here.
So what are the criteria that you're using here to determine the best ads?
Well, a couple of things. Impact in terms of financial results, impact in terms of social media, of news coverage. This is a mix of TV spots and webvertising because a lot of marketers now are going on the web very effectively and using that as a medium for their advertising. So it's a mix of the two.
So you brought us your top five.
Right, right. Guaranteed to generate 100% disagreement among our listeners. I think that this is a mix of different ads that really stood out to me this year. Let's start with this one from Guinness. It actually launched last fall, but it's a sort of a mugwump ad. It's gotten a lot of press this year. It shows a half a dozen guys playing wheelchair basketball. They spin, they scoot, they shoot, they knock each other over, and then you hear this voiceover.
Dedication. Loyalty.
Getting better at this, yeah. Next week, buddy.
So then five of the six get out of their wheelchairs and walk toward the exit with the one who is still in his wheelchair who can't get out of it. It's a really terrific ad with the sort of surprise ending.
Why? What's so great about it?
I think it's a misdirection ad. You think that these are six guys who have to be in a wheelchair, and the truth is that five of them are getting in wheelchairs to sort of level the playing field.
Okay, so Guinness, a winner there. You've got another one called World's Toughest Job, which features snippets of webcam interviews for the position of director of operations. Here's a clip.
First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work 135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
So what's so great about that one?
The ad agency posted a help wanted ad for director of operations job. And these are real interviews for a fake job. And in the end, it turns out that the job, the director of operations, is mom. And this is for American Greetings card stores.
Aha. Uh-huh. And this one did pretty well online.
It did very well. It got a lot of press and it also got about 22 million views on YouTube, which
wow.
is a pretty good hit.
All right. Well, this next ad got more than twice that many views on YouTube. Tell us about this one.
This one employs the popular 1 second a day format. And it starts out with a young girl, average girl who's at a birthday party. She's at music lessons. She goes to school. And then all of a sudden, it all goes wrong. The girl winds up in a gas mask at a refugee camp, and then a super comes on the screen and says, just because it isn't happening here doesn't mean it isn't happening. Save serious children. It's a really effective ad and raised about $100,000.
And who put that out?
Save the Children, an organization that goes and does philanthropic work, rescue work around the world.
Well, this next ad that you brought us is actually also from a nonprofit, and I doubt that there's a single listener who is hearing this right now who has not seen this in some form or another. I'm talking about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Yes, that happened in 2014. It generated $100 million for the ALS Foundation that's working to find a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. And of course, people just did this all over the place. They poured ice cold water on their heads for a good cause, but they also made an ad.
Yeah, this is one for the books because basically they used a combination of news media, social media, and marketing on the web to make this a real phenomenon, a total cultural phenomenon. Here's just one of the videos that's up on YouTube. It features 38 celebrities, including Taylor Swift and actress model Jamie King.
We're not just casually holding all these $100 bills. We're actually going to put our money where our mouths are. And every single person you see here, we're going to donate on their behalf $100.
Three, two, one!
John, this is really where webvertising worked this year, where an online campaign actually raised money.
Yeah, this ripple effect was really amazing. Essentially, it was this small Bohr kind of campaign. And all of a sudden, people started sending it out on social media, and it was all over the place. So you had all kinds of celebrities, Eminem, Oprah Winfrey, Justin Timberlake. There were all kinds of people who were engaged in this. And interestingly, not too long ago, Samuel L. Jackson used this as sort of a springboard for another campaign, said, you know, I want people to go out and sing this song that's a protest. All you ice bucket celebrities, go out and sing a song that's a protest against police brutality. Trying to springboard off it, I'm not sure it's going to get the same amount of traction.
We shall see. And finally, we've got number five here, the ad campaign that revolved around an ad that didn't get made.
Yeah, Newcastle Ale has about a $2 million annual budget. That's about half of what you need to buy 30 seconds on the Super Bowl. So they built this campaign called If We Made It. And essentially what they did was create all this different content. They have somebody showing the storyboard of the ad that they would have made if they had the money. And then they have indie actress Anna Kendrick, who was the actress who would have been in the Super Bowl ad if they had made it, but they didn't.
I was really excited to make a commercial with Newcastle, but then turns out they don't even have the money or permission to make a commercial. They can't even say the word it's bleeped.
So it's very funny, and she goes on for about 2 minutes, and it's worth watching the whole thing just for the ending, which is a real hoot. So Newcastle got 600 media stories about this.
Wow.
They say they got a billion impressions. They say they had a high triple-digit lift in sales. I'm not even sure what that means. That could mean they sold 599 more six-packs. But it certainly got a lot of attention for an ad that didn't get made.
John, in the year of 2014, in the world of advertising, was this a big game changer of a year? Is advertising markedly different now than it was a year ago? Or what's going on Madison Avenue and around the country?
I think it's an evolution. It's sort of a slow development of these alternative platforms. I mean, you're seeing a lot of mobile advertising.
Yeah.
And it's a real tricky thing because people don't really want you jumping on their smartphone. It feels more intrusive, actually, on your smartphone than in many other areas. But they're trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to reach people. And it's a real combination now. The marketer's dream has always been to advertise to an audience of one. And that's what they're looking to do. And more, they're using these digital vehicles to try to hone in on particular consumers with particular pitches.
And are the fundamentals the same? Is the content the same and they're just having to figure out a different way to get it to you? Or is the very core of advertising changing?
No, the process is different. It used to be branding was all about what the marketer wanted to communicate, who they wanted to communicate to, and how they wanted to communicate. Now, it's more of a collaboration. It's this sort of participatory kind of branding where you get into a conversation with people that's in a brand community. So to go out and to just deliver messages in the old sort of one-way transmitter-receiver kind of process, that doesn't really work as much anymore. It's still there, and television's never going to go away. Television advertising is never going to go away. But more and more, there are these supplemental channels that marketers can use to have a different kind of conversation with the consumer. And it's a real shift in the balance of power. The consumer has a lot more power now than they did before. And marketers are slowly waking up to that.
John Carroll, Here and Now media analyst and a mass communication professor at Boston University. And we've got a link to his campaign outsider blog at our website, hereandnow.org. John, thanks.
Thank you.